Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. Sponsored by Allshred Mobile Document Destruction and Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? The Frederick Faith Debate. I almost forgot the name of the show for a half a second there. How did that happen? Well, I'm sure there's lots of reasons why that happened, but we won't get into that right now.
Don't worry, we're still going to debate today.
Yeah, the Frederick Faith Debate is a show in which various worldviews, religious points of view, spiritual leaders, that sort of thing, come together and talk about the things that they hold to be near and dear to them, the things that they hold to be true. So that's what we're going to do on this show today. I am your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. Jonathan Schweitzer from Crossroad Valley Chapel is on the panel this week, along
Good
with Carolyn Evers, a locutionist and visionary. and we came to a loose understanding of what that means in the last show, if you were listening last week. Basically, I think what we're talking about defines what that means for
yes.
the purposes of this show anyway.
Well said. Yeah.
Carolyn says that she has memories of previous lifetimes and that she speaks to those who have passed over to the other side, as she terms it, those who have died, including her now deceased son who died as a teenager, I believe, in an automobile accident, Pope John Paul II, Julius Caesar, and others. So we're here to talk about that. And Jonathan is here to respond on that from a Christian worldview perspective. And Jonathan made it pretty clear in last week's show that he thought that the things that you do, while not questioning their reality, he did not, well, some might, Jonathan didn't question mm-hmm. that you really have an experience that you're speaking to someone,
something,
whether
somewhere.
It's a dead person or not. And that you're remembering something, whether it's really a past life or not. He's not questioning that there's really something going on there, but he's defined that as something that's dangerous, and he used a whole bunch of different ways to kind of say that he thought it was dangerous. I have a question for you. Jonathan, saying that what you say is dangerous and pointing to the Scripture as his foundation for truth, do you find that dangerous in reverse?
The fact that he has an opinion that he is stating that it's a dangerous thing that I do? Is that the question? I kind of got lost in that.
Yeah, I guess, although I don't know if I like the word opinion, because Jonathan is saying that the reality of your view of things, your view of the reality of things has a lot of dangers associated with it. Jonathan has a view of the reality of things and that differs with yours. And so I'm wondering if you see any danger in his view of reality.
No, he's using a yardstick, and it's a very valid yardstick, if for lack of a better word. And I'm not arguing with that yardstick. I'm just saying that there is more to that yardstick. The yardstick is longer, it's bigger, it's broader. That's all I'm saying. There are experiences that maybe Jonathan wouldn't recognize and approve of using the authority of the Bible, but my experiences are different. I don't think they're dangerous. And I think all of us come through life and set up a set of values and structure them in a world that they feel is right and are comfortable with, and that's fine. What we're really looking for, I believe, and Jonathan would probably agree with this, that however we live our life, whatever we believe in, we are looking to progress to a point where we are refining ourselves as a human being, of being good and kind and loving and becoming closer to God and bringing that love force among all of us.
Now, you said toward the end of last week's show that you had an example you wanted to get
yes.
into to illustrate a point that Jonathan was saying. But before we do that, I wanted to ask Jonathan whether or not you would agree with what Carolyn presumed you would agree with. That our point is that the point of our existence is to improve and be good and kind and to grow closer to God. Is that something you would agree with?
Yes and no. Sorry. I do that all the time. Clearly, the goal of all of our lives is summed up in a verse in Proverbs that says, what a man truly desires is unfailing love. Better to be poor than a liar. That's what we're looking for, is unfailing love. In fact, that's what I feel like oftentimes people who have family members that have passed away and they still want to maintain a connection, is they're looking for that unfailing love, love that never dies, that they can carry with them forever. But anyways, that's the goal. However, I'm convinced that there is nothing anybody in any religion can ever do to attain that. And that is why Christ was so important, that the only way for you and I to find unfailing love is for us to say to God, I can't do it. I'm not good enough, and I'm never going to be able to accomplish that on my own. Thank you for sending your son Christ to die on the cross for me. I accept his death on the cross as being sufficient for making my relationship, God, with you right. And that is all that I need. There's peace. There's joy. There's rest. In that moment, that's all that's necessary. And so all of my acts and efforts to do good things are out of gratitude for what God has already done for me. They're not out of an attempt to earn something, but they're out of gratitude because, wow, did he do something amazing for me? I don't need anything. I don't have to earn anything. It's all done. And there's a place of peace and rest in that. And so I agree that, yes, we're hoping to be better with and to one another, but I'm of the opinion that we cannot do that on our own. And until we let go and admit that we can't do that, then we cannot have a right relationship with God.
And bless you. I think that is wonderful. And for you, you know, that's good. Some of the things, energy of everything that has happened in the past is happening in the present, is recorded, I do believe. It is recorded in places that's very much like a computer disk in a computer. And as strange as this might sound, because it wasn't something I was going to mention because it sounds so far from being believable. My son has taken me to these places where there are records, and he opens them up. And as he reads them, I see the images. And he took me to a place where I saw God creating souls. It was extraordinary. And what came forth, now I didn't see God as a being. I saw it as a light force. And coming forth from that light force was rays in all different colors. These were particles that was actually coming from God. These particles were like moving away from this force and compacted. And this is how the souls were made. Each one of these rays that these particles came on, whether it was blue or pink, they were all the basic composition of what the soul is like, so that people who were born, came out of the blue ray, were very mental. They had the mental abilities. This was the focus of their soul, exploring on the gift of the mental ability. The people, the souls that were born on the pink rays, came forth on the pink ray of love. They expressed themselves in the love mode. For instance, the nurses, the teachers, more than likely their soul was born on this pink ray. When you see these things, and I've had many situations, I write about them, when you see these things, this is why I'm saying it brings me closer to God, to have these experiences, to see how the world was created, how it came down to this place where we were. And so all I'm saying is, I guess, that there are some people, and I know many of them, they read the Bible and it is all that they need. And I say to them, bless you. You have found something that brings you solace and comfort, and you don't have to look anywhere else. But there are other people out there who maybe, it's not that they disagree with the Bible, it's just that they have these questions. They want to know more about, where do you go after you die? Why do you come back? What's it all about? It's not that you're trying to ask these questions. They're just there. And as you have these experiences and you answer them, it opens you up to in a whole different perspective. And maybe you're feeling the same way with what you're reading directly from your Bible, the way I feel from the experiences that I have. So I think we're both on the same track.
Well, see, this is the thing, though, because that's what I think is most difficult for me is when you say that we're on the same track, or you say you're a Christian, then you turn around and you give a definition of God that is directly contrary to the clear teaching of Scripture. The Bible says that God created us, and he didn't say that he created us as, you know, out of particles from his being, but that we are separate from him, and that he is God, and that no one is God, but we are separate from who God is. And yet what you're describing to me in this creation of souls is, one, you said God's not a personal being. That's in direct contradiction to Scripture. Two, you said that the way that these souls are being created.
I didn't say he was a personal being. I said what I saw was this light. What was behind the light, I can't say. I didn't.
Well, see, again, but this is what's frustrating to me, is because God is not just this impersonal force. And you've actually used that phrase in several...
Impersonal force?
Well, you've used the word phrase and energy a couple times in your discussion. And God is not that. He's extremely personable. And he interacts with us very personally.
I would agree with that. I don't disagree with it. I'm just telling you what I saw. And in the midst of this, there was this great love. And I can only tell you what I saw.
I think that I'm not a pastor, so I'm going to ask a really, you know, probably silly, mindless question here. But it seems like, if I'm understanding the dialogue between the two of you, Jonathan and Carolyn, Carolyn. And I'm speaking to the audience now. Carolyn, X's and O's chalkboard over here.
Yeah.
Is saying that, you know, a number of these things over here in this pile are true. Many of the things in that pile are things that Jonathan would place in that pile. And then on top of that pile, she's stacking additional things. Jonathan is saying that by adding those additional things on top of the pile, that you're creating a conflict because the two things can't be co-joined or intermingled, that they don't fit together. If you say that X is true, then Y cannot be true.
Sure.
That's Jonathan's point.
Yeah.
And Carolyn is saying that, if I'm understanding correctly, that both X and Y can be true, even though they don't really seem to go together.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, so how do you, I don't know if this is the right word or not, but how do you in your mind rationalize or come to understand the inconsistencies or the lack of connectedness between these different ideas, where they seem to be polar opposites and seem to be fighting with one another?
I guess I don't feel like they are fighting with one another. And that's probably the difference between the two things that we are saying. I think that God is constantly revealing his... Maybe this is what the difference is. I believe that God is constantly revealing himself to us. And Jonathan perhaps is saying, if I understand this correctly, this isn't true, that what was revealed is in a body of literature. And if it's not in that literature that we call the Bible, then it is contrary to.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm glad you mentioned that. In fact, because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is that part of God that comes and lives directly with us as Christians, I'm of the opinion that God is revealing himself and continues to reveal himself. What I'm arguing is not that God has stopped revealing himself, but that God has made it very clear his standards for revealing himself. And that there are clearly in human existence things that are evil and things that are not good for humanity, that are bad for humanity, things that separate us from God. And God, through the Bible, which the accuracy of the prophecies that are fulfilled, the accuracy of the resurrection story and the different elements of Scripture are totally verified in every sense that could be verified, has delivered to us this standard. And what I'm saying is simply that you have chosen to go beyond that standard and to accept things that are outside of that. And Jesus himself said that narrow is the road that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And my experience is that when people move beyond Christianity in their spiritual walk, is that they start talking about this broad-mindedness, you know, and just, you know, they're open to whatever, and, you know, as long as it feels good and it makes them feel good, is that they toss out the biblical standard. And what I'm saying is that when that happened in Israel's history and they tossed out God's standard, God was very angry with that. And in fact, he called it adultery. He called it spiritual adultery, that it's kind of like me saying, oh, I love my wife, but I want a broader view of marriage. I want to bring in this woman over here as well, you know, and I want to do a little bit of this and do a little bit of that. And that in God's eyes, according to the Bible, in the Old Testament, New Testament, the clear teaching of Scripture, what you're advocating is adultery, and that you're no longer a one God woman, but now you're open to all these other elements that anger God, according to the Old Testament, and that introduce what he would call unfaithfulness and lack of trust in his clear communication to you.
Well, I'm sorry. Just real quickly, says the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I'm Troy Skinner. The voice you heard a moment ago is Jonathan Schweitzer, and the voice you're about to hear is Carolyn Evers. And Jonathan is the pastor of Crossroad Valley Chapel, and Carolyn is a visionary and locutionist who, what that means is, can remember past lives of her own and can speak to those who have passed over to the other side. That's what she says is happening. Jonathan says something's happening, but he's not sure that as she understands it, that's exactly what's happening.
Well, I think it's even very possible that she's speaking with the people that have passed over to the other side. When the medium with King Saul called up the Samuel, we get the impression that it was really Samuel that he spoke with. So I'm not even questioning whether or not she's speaking with her son. I'm simply saying that scripturally, that whole process is something that God was so against it that he recommended in the Old Testament, not just recommended, he commanded his people to stone those kind of people.
Let's give Carolyn a chance to respond to what you've said most recently. And also, I don't know if you've gotten to your example yet. So let's get into that.
Well, I wanted to get into the example. And then after we get into the example, maybe address the fact that Jonathan keeps coming up with this period of the Bible, like no one else existed in the world other than the Israelites. And, I mean, we had plenty of other people in the world besides the Israelites.
Yeah, lots of them.
Right. And
yeah.
What were they doing? Before we get into that, let's get to the example.
Where were those guys? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I forget how that we talked about this example before, but this particular example was Julius Caesar. And it was one of the first books that I had written, Conversations with Caesar. And he gave his experiences of what he had experienced after he was assassinated. And he
meaning
called,
after he died?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, after he was assassinated and died, where was Julius Caesar?
Okay.
And he describes exactly what it was like, where he was. He called it the Bardo. And it would be I know Catholics did. I don't know if Jonathan would include this. We called it purgatory. Maybe in your church you don't have a purgatory. I don't know. But this
– we don't, by the way.
Okay. Well –
it's appointed to man once to die, then the judgment. That's okay. What Scripture says. Anyways, go ahead.
And he describes it completely as to what the Bardo was like and what his crime was, why he was there, and how – what his crime was the people that he had killed and had sent into slavery, that he had changed an evolutionary group of people who were put on earth to evolve and to grow, and they were completely annihilated. And this was his great crime. This is why he was put into the Bardo with his soldiers. And he had to make restitution. He had to change this. He had to work through this. He had to, in a sense, redeem himself before he would be allowed to leave the Bardo. And that's what his whole story.
Now, can I ask this? Did he have permission or the freedom to choose to not want to work through it and just say, forget it, I just want to go
yes.
to hell?
Okay. Yes. No, matter of fact, he's very clear about that. And so my son has been very clear about that also.
The idea of him needing to redeem himself, though, would seem to be in conflict with the Orthodox understanding of Christianity, right?
I used a word that maybe is not the correct word, so to speak.
He
had done something that was against the evolutionary spiral of people coming to Earth. He had annihilated.
This is interesting again, because evolution is this idea that we are evolving to this higher enlightened state, and that's in direct contradiction to Scripture. Scripture says that we're not evolving to a higher state, that we fell from paradise, and in fact, Revelation's view of when everything's done and God reestablishes his kingdom on earth is, again, we're in paradise with God. And so
it all depends on what part of the point of the picture that you're discussing. His point of the picture that he is discussing was a group of people who were acquiring the steps of civilization, that type of evolving. He's not wasn't really speaking of God per se, evolving towards God. He is talking about.
Okay, but just to make my point, I'm not going to. Obviously, I believe that you're wrong. I'm not trying to tell you that you need to change here. I'm just raising the clarification that you have stepped away from the clear biblical teaching about the rise and fall of civilizations there. Clear biblical teaching on the rise and fall of civilizations is that if a nation honors God, he blesses them. And that's that. And if a nation dishonors him, then he allows famine and different things to come upon them. And so all I'm saying is that you're marrying an idea into, with your ideas on Christianity again. That's my point, is that you keep bringing in these things
that are in direct contradiction to
the Gauls
to Scripture. Weren't Christians, and they were a different group of people who were making their way up a ladder of civilization. I mean, many of them probably didn't even have
And they could
clothing.
Do that without necessarily getting close to God?
I have no idea what state they were with God when they were evolving.
Okay, all I'm saying is that's what bothers me, is that your attitude even seems to be cavalier, that you don't necessarily care. All
no,
you care
I'm
about
trying...
is that you got the connection with Julius Caesar and he gave you the thing and you wrote it down, but you're not paying any attention to the ramifications of the ideology and the truth that's coming through. You just accept it for what it is and you just write it down and it makes you feel good and closer to God. And what I'm saying is that's my concern. I'm just so that we're being clear between us. That's all. Keep going,
There's
please.
Nothing that's not clear between the two of us. When you get to a group of – I mean, it's rather hard for me to go on with this, actually. Maybe we need to turn the subject, whatever you care to discuss.
I wanted to ask because
– I can't – you know –
It's a tough discussion, isn't it?
No, it's not that it's a tough decision.
Sure.
It's not a tough discussion.
Okay. Let's shoot straight. This is good.
If you want me to shoot straight, I'll tell you. You're very narrow-minded. Yeah.
Sure.
You might
I
think
agree.
That you're – okay. If
– I'm stuck
if,
on Scripture.
And that's
I really
fine.
Am.
I haven't once said that what you believe in is wrong. I'm saying that it is right. What I mentioned earlier is there
good.
Is more to Scripture. You know, Scripture covers this little period or little place of Israelites – as if there was nobody else that existed in the world at that time.
Well, I disagree with that, but if that's what you think Scripture says,
because
they prophesied
about,
to
minute,
Nineveh,
excuse,
they prophesied,
excuse
yeah,
me.
That's fine.
I'm
yep.
not talking about yep. Scripture. I'm talking about history.
Yeah.
There were people more ancient than Israelites.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
There was humanity living, and probably if you go back to Hinduism, some of the very early writings of other cultures, way before Israelites.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so do
Although
you...
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you say that all of their experiences and all that they had received from who they thought was their God is in opposition to the Bible because it's not in the Bible?
No, no. In fact, I believe that there are many nations and groups of people out there that probably did interact with God and found God, and it was a holy relationship.
Absolutely.
However, what I'm saying is that, like the flood, God destroyed the world at the flood because of its wickedness. Like the Canaanites, God wiped out the entire nation because their wickedness had become so great. And what I'm saying is that the Bible prophesies to surrounding nations, to Nineveh, to Assyria, to Babylon, you know, and interacts with different people. And what it gives us is how God views and perceives the world. And I'm of the – in fact, apparently Machu Picchu down in Peru was a group of people because Peru – you look at all their architecture and all their sculptures, like you'd pick up a cup and you were holding a penis. Sorry, can I say that on the radio?
I hope we're not on the radio.
Yes,
are
we are. And all the sculpture, you know, were shaped like women's bodies and stuff, and they were just consumed with sexuality.
You know, that is so false. I have been there.
At Machu Picchu, you had this whole group of people that said, you know what, we don't want anything to do with that. We're going to separate ourselves so that we can follow the one true God. And I'm of the opinion that to the extent that they do that, that God would have revealed himself to them.
I have been to Machu Picchu.
So is my brother. He says it's beautiful.
What you're saying is not accurate about
the Peruvian culture, you mean?
Yeah, it is not accurate.
You haven't seen the architect? Because I've got some books that I can show you about that stuff. It's amazing.
Well, there's
just everything in their lives was sexualized.
There are several layers of culture in that area of the world.
Oh, I'd expect that.
And so
one generation one way, another generation another way.
Well, no, not just a generation of the same people, but layers of different cultures. And you're not going
without a doubt, I agree with
you. You're not going to agree with this, but one of the first cultures that was laid down there was people from Atlantis.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, that's going to be a different show. We have to end this show now. It always happens just when we really connect deep level. It's time to wrap things up.
Yes,
thanks
we
so much, Jonathan
Switzer,
Carolyn Evers. I appreciate you so much being on the show. Thank you for listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD.